I'm convinced Whit Merrifield listens to this podcast. We like badmouthed him all last episode, talking about how he's such a bad Blue Jays, got a 500 OPS, this, that, and the other thing. Guy in a loss comes out and just hits two tankaroonies. Are you kidding me? We talk all about that and more. Lockdown Blue Jays starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Matt Bonaparte, Ben Shulman here with you on your Friday episode. Thanks for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Ben, the Blue Jays lost 10-5. It was bad. Maybe we jinxed Jose Berríos after talking about how good he kind of was. He was coming back after being so bad. He's finally figuring it out. And then he comes into this game. He gives up a leadoff home run to Jonathan Aranda, and it all kind of goes downhill from there. Berríos only got through two innings, gave up seven hits, six earned runs, only got one strikeout. Really was not very Berríos-y. This is the first time he gave up more than two earned runs since August 29th against the Cubs, so really not that far long ago, but the first time in September, so breaks a streak of being at least solid in a 10-5 Blue Jays loss.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Definitely was not great. I mean, I think we're going to get into more macro Jose Berríos coming up, but at least in the micro here, you know, there is, there's probably a crowd of people listening to us thinking about some of the bad luck. There was some bad luck. There were, I refer to Chris Black, great Sportsnet producer, for the miles per hour on the singles in the second inning that fueled that three-run inning. First one, 99. Cool. That's a hard hit ball. That should be a base hit. Then we have 61 and 72. Those should absolutely not be base hits. That is what you want coming off the bat, singles that burned him. And then you have 83, which is kind of in the middle. I mean, it's not a total bloop, but at the same time, that 95 is a ball considered hit hard. It's not a good performance. It's tough that the Blue Jays come out, score in the first inning. George triples and they score, and then they score two more in the second inning, completely erase the three run first, but Berríos replicates it in the second inning. And we talked about this a lot early in the year, not as much since, but I think it's really hard for an offense sometimes when you go out, you score a run, your pitcher gives up three, you go out, score, your pitcher gives up three. And it's like, how much more work do you need us to do? You know, the early runs are really, really killer. It overshadowed some really good performances. Obviously, like you mentioned off the top, two-hit Whit goes two-hit out of the yard. Hits a big homer in second inning that doesn't end up being a big homer, but to tie the game at three, and then gets a nice little consolation two-run job in the ninth inning. Witt's been playing better. He's still not playing well, but he's been playing better. What do you think? You think this can spark Whit?
Nope. Nope. I would be shocked. But, you know, if this – didn't we have a discussion on here about what is Whit Merrifield's, like, best performance or something?
We hit a go-ahead double in a pinch-hit opportunity – and we deemed that the best moment he's had as a Blue Jay. And I still think that stands over today because, you know, even though he had a great game, this might be his best, like, performance. Moment.
I guess it's
like,
moment.
Two-run double overtake a deficit late in the game is more important than these homers.
Also, I don't know how much he's heating up. The guy has six hits this month.
What's his last, like, four games?
Okay, before today,
his
last five games, not including the game that we're covering right now, he had three hits in his last five games, which is good enough for a 300 average in five games because he only had 10 ABs. But
walking,
I guess He walked twice, yes.
Walking
so
away.
I guess that's good
so
for him.
So he's heating up a little bit.
His OPS is up 3 points. Yep, he's heating up.
He's heating up.
The consolation prizes that aren't good enough for World Series teams.
This is what happened when you lose 10-5, guys. We talk about Witt.
How about Foster Griffin getting in this game, huh? How about that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it made sense to kind of pull the plug on Merriweather. I know you didn't ask that seriously, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
He had two good innings.
No, I mean, look, there's a potentially open spot still for the playoffs. I don't really think so, but there is. And you know what, Foster? Give it your best shot. Give it your best shot. Only threw first pitch strikes to two of the eight guys he faced. Gave up a hit and a walk, but didn't give up a run. He was pretty good. I mean, Richards wasn't good, but Pop and Griffin were pretty good. And they're two guys trying to fight to be on this team come playoff time. So that's good.
Foster Griffin traded for Jonathan Bernal.
Yeah, it was a under the radar midseason deal.
Yeah, and guess what? Jonathan Bernal's not making any major league starts right now. And guess who's playing? Foster freaking Griffin.
Boom. Teo goes Yahtzee. Bo with two hits. Springer with two hits. I don't know. They lost 10-5. They just their pitcher didn't give them a chance and they lost 10-5.
Yeah, Pop played well though. I'm happy with Pop. He gave up two hits, but he got through. Phelps, he gave up a run. That wasn't great. Richards was bad, but the back end was fine. Offense wasn't terrible. Just like
no,
you know, it happened. Did Wander or did Yandy play?
Yandy did not play.
No, so who is your hype train?
Yandy was my hype train. He got a cortisone shot.
Was scary. Who was your hype train?
Sorry, my hype train was. It's a good question. I did it yesterday. Danny Jansen. He went 0-3.
Okay, I was gonna say if he didn't play, none of our scaries nor hype trains would have played.
Who were yours? Remind the people.
Mine were. Shane McClanahan was my scary, and my hype train was okay, Santiago Espinal.
Yeah, well, both of us picked rotational players. Otto Lopez got in the game. You didn't even mention that. That's crazy for me.
I was about to, actually. it was a toss-up between him and Foster Griffin getting the mention.
Bradley Zimmer got in. He struck out in his one at bat.
Hey, if he's not playing against Justin Verlander, he doesn't do much.
Okay, here's a question for you.
Okay.
Crazier. Witt multi-homer game. Zimmer homers off Verlander.
Zimmer, dude. Zimmer hit a homer off of Verlander, and he has like 100 average otherwise.
And he's got like 11 major league homers for his career. Yeah,
like, that's insanity. Hold on, I feel a sneeze coming on.
All right, well, you mute yourself as I look up the number of homers Bradley Zimmer has in his career. He has 21, so I'm slandering him a little bit.
I'm trying to look at the light to get myself to sneeze.
That's more information than we needed. It's not even gross, but I don't know why. I just don't like it.
It's not working.
He's hit two this year. He had 8 in 2 separate years. Some big power years for the machine.
He's the goat, dude. No.
Just machine. Right. Just yeah. Pujols has nothing machine.
All right. That's enough game react for us. We are going to take a quick break. On the other side, we talk about Jose Berríos is not going to make a playoff start. It's just not going to happen. But first, betonline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all of the latest player developments, team matchups, news podcasts, and in-depth articles of analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sporting wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Bonjour. Let's keep rolling. It's Locked On Blue Jays, your Friday episode. Happy Friday. It wasn't a happy Thursday, but it's okay. Blue Jays are going to bounce back, but we have to talk about the playoffs coming up. Obviously, they still have to clinch it, but it's on everyone's mind. And we had gone on recently and talked about how Jose Berríos may be creeping back into the shitty start conversation. Strip had struggled. Berríos had a good September to start. It feels like that time is done, but I option it to you, Mr. Bones. In any situation, would you start Jose Berríos in a playoff game?
I mean,
barring injury, like,
okay. Yes, I would. If it were something like, if it were the ALCS and they were up 3-0, or even if it were the DS and they were up 2-0, I would start Berríos just because I'd want to have Stripling, or in the other case, Manoah, for game one of the World Series or game one of the CS. Just take a shot on him for a game. And if it doesn't work, start the other guy.
So I'm you had that feeling.
Okay.
I think you have a legitimate case, somewhat on your reasoning, somewhat on other reasoning. So we haven't really gone over the playoff schedule. It's weird this year. It's a bit different. The wild card games, 3 days in a row. It's like a series. It's October 7th, 8th, and 9th. It comes up right after the end of the regular season. We will talk about that in our next segment. Let's say it goes three. Alek Manoah starts game one on the 7th. Kevin Gausman game two on the 8th. Ross Stripp game three on the 9th. And you win, let's say. Then the Blue Jays head to the division series, which starts on October 11th. So that means 3 days in between of rest, 4 days rest if you count the days pitching on. So 4 days rest for everyone in the next series. You'd prefer 4 days rest to Berríos starting game one?
Can you say it again? I'm so sorry.
If Alek Manoah starts game one card round, he would be on 4 days rest, provided no matter what. If he were to start the DS game one, he would be on 4 days rest in between those two game ones.
And would I rather have Berríos?
Yeah.
Just so Alec could get one more day. Honestly, it would depend if it's home, which it wouldn't
the
be.
The DS will not be home no matter what.
So, no, I would want Alec on the mound.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't want to start Berríos in any situation that wasn't a home game, but don't know necessarily if I can pick and choose that.
I mean, the Blue Jays kind of can. It depends. I agree with you. I think there are some that are worried. You know, Alex's stuff, if you grade it out, has dropped a little bit off in the later parts of the season. He's still an absolute baller, and it's completely relative. But he's been a little bit shakier in the second half than the first half. If you're wondering, Bones is so home road split. Jose Berríos at home this year, 7-1 with a 3.98 ERA. On the road, not including this 2-inning, 6-run performance, he is 4-4, which is remarkable, with a 6.19 ERA. And that will go.
Look at the strikeout numbers, too, though. On the road, 54 strikeouts and 72 2/3. Like, that's crazy bad.
Yeah.
Compared to what he does at home.
He's still under a strikeout per inning at home, which is alarming, but it's not as bad. He's also pitched more innings at home, 13 1/3 more, and given up 6 more homers on the road, not including tonight again. So I tend to agree with you there. You do get into some interesting spots, you know, game four of a series, that would be Alec on 3 days rest after Alec on 4 days rest. Game four of the ALDS. The way I see it, and I don't know if you agree, if they are on the brink of elimination, if they are down 2-1, you might have to throw Alec out there.
Well,
on the brink of elimination, you're on the brink of going through. So it's kind of tough.
Brink of elimination, though, I stop considering who's going to pitch the next series game one. I don't care at that point. At that point, it's just about advancing. So
I don't mean for game one, though. It's just rest. Like, do we think Alec on 4 and then 3 days rest after that would be good enough?
Yeah, but at that point, it's like you start whoever's going to win you the game, right? So if I can start Alec, like if it's not on 2 days rest and it's an elimination game, I'm starting Manoah. But also, like, I am not so upset about starting Gosman because he's got playoff experience from last year and he's a veteran and it's okay.
In my scenario, he would be on even shorter rest in theory.
Okay, and Strip's not bad either.
He would have pitched the day before. Because it's like Alec pitches game one, then Gosman,
right,
then Strip. So game four, Alec. It's a real. It's, you know, games 1 to 3 are the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Game four is the 14th.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Really condensed schedule. Bullpens are going to be huge. Would you be more surprised to see Jose Berríos?
Oh, I thought you were going to say a bullpen game.
Or a bullpen game.
No, don't do bullpen game. Not in the playoffs.
What about an opener for Berríos?
Don't hate that.
Avoid the top. Like, let's say it's the Yankees. I mean, let's say they finish 4 or 5, which is the 1 or 2 wild card, and they win. Then they play the Yankees. So you avoid Judge, Stanton, Rizzo. I don't know who. Stanton's not hitting.
It's Judge. Well, if they get DJ back, it'll be DJ, Judge, Rizzo.
Okay, so you avoid DJ, Judge, Rizzo. And then,
you got to face Stanton, Carpenter if he's back. And
Matt Carpenter had a great 30 games, but I'm not going to put him with Judge and Stanton for now. It's still Berríos doesn't have to go through that Judge route at least once. So I think there's a chance he gets a start with the way it's condensed. He almost has to in a way. It's a shame that there's not any more confidence in him. And it's a little bit of shame that, you know, a lot of teams would have a serviceable 5 starter that they consider using instead. Blue Jays just aren't in that position. You know, with a healthy Hyunjin Ryu, there's a chance that he would be the 4 and Berríos wouldn't get starts this playoffs. But that's what the situation is. And like you, I wouldn't freak out. The thing about Berríos is as much up, he does have the ability this year to still occasionally dominate games. Like every once in a while, he goes out there up like a run, but it'll just go like 6 2/3 one run, and he's done it against good and bad teams. So there's always that factor that he could Jose Berríos again. So I'm cool with that. I think people are ready to hear some ads, like right now.
All righty, those are pretty good ads, huh? Matt Bonaparte, Ben Shulman still here on Locked On Blue Jays. We just talked a bunch of starting pitching. We'll talk a little bit more. We did talk about Manoah, but I will read this tweet from Arash Madani, who says Alec Manoah to start Saturday at the Tropicana Field, meaning he won't pitch against the Yankees next week. The Jays are keeping the scenario in mind to have Manoah start game 162 if winning the series finale means hosting the wild card series. Home field would be great, Schneider said. Of course it would. Everyone wants home field.
So I'm going to break down the first thing really quickly.
Go ahead, man.
It's the less important thing. So there was a chance for them to line them up for the Yankees. At this point, they're not going to catch the Yankees. It doesn't really make sense. If they were in a position to try and catch the Yankees and they had won the first 2 games of the Yankee series, they could reasonably put him in game 3 and keep him on a 5-day rest schedule, shuffle some other people around. It would make sense. It doesn't. The big thing is, would you pitch Alec Manoah? You know, let's say, you know, you and the Rays are playing at the same time with the same record. You're going to pitch, or I guess it looks like the Blue Jays are going to lose this tiebreaker. So in theory, you got to be like a game up. Are you going to pitch Alec Manoah to secure home field advantage over starting him game 1 in the playoffs?
It's a good question. It really is. I mean, it's about how much you value home field in the playoffs, and a guy like me, I value it. So I probably would throw Manoah in that game 162 if it meant home field. And then I'm okay starting Gausman and Strip and then Manoa. That's fine with me.
For me, I honestly kind of feel the opposite. I'm a little worried about that because I see the scenario where you throw him and then things go awry and he doesn't even pitch in the wild card round. I mean, you,
well, how about this?
Win one of the first two, he doesn't pitch.
That's true.
And he's going to pitch on short, but, like last game of the season. Let me get some dates for you. Just to be
But
a
say
little...
he pitches like, all right, say things go awry and he doesn't have a good start. He's down four in the third inning. They take him out right there to save him for a wild card game.
Well, I'm not saying that? I'm not saying he'd awry in his start. I just mean in the series. If you line him up for game three and you lose the first two, he doesn't
pitch.
Oh,
they'll pitch somebody else. Oh, you mean the wild card series?
The wild card series.
No, but I'm saying in that game 162, what if you take him out early if things are going poorly?
But he's still going to pitch in game. If things are going poorly, he's going to have thrown a decent number of pitches. I still think you end up, like, the last game of the season is the fifth. And wild card game three is the ninth. You're already going to pitch him on 4 days rest if you do that. What could be a factor, too, it's not official, but it has been reported that it looks like the I guess the ban, if you want to call it, on unvaccinated foreigners to Canada could be lifted by September 30th, which would mean vaccinated or not, every major league player could come to the Rogers Centre again. And while if we had more time and I cared less about people coming at me in comments and stuff, I would go in depth about how I don't really think it's been an advantage. But in this one scenario, it would be an advantage, obviously, for players to not be there during a playoff series. That won't be in play. Not to say the home field still doesn't have its advantages. It absolutely does. But that is a big facet that's no longer likely going to be a part of it.
I just think playing in the playoffs at home compared to away is actually a real thing.
It's fair.
And we saw that last year at plenty of teams. So I think it's just better to play in front of the home crowd, and especially for a Blue Jays fan base that would love to see it and would definitely show out, sell out the park. So I don't know. I'm for him pitching that game 162. And you're saying if it goes awry, I mean, you kind of have to hope with Manoa on the mound it doesn't. And they win that game. But it's baseball, so anything can happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think my worst worries are it going awry in games one and two of the wild card round more than that. But I do have a good bit of faith in Gausman and a pretty solid faith in Stripling as well. So I'm not predicting that if they did it, the Blue Jays would just lose the first two of the wild card round and not get a chance for Manoa to pitch. But I am worried about it. But it's an interesting topic. I'm sure it's going to get broken down a lot more because Alex the man. And, you know, where he's pitching decides a lot for this baseball team. The best, you know what the best case scenario would be? That they don't have to worry about it on the last day of the season.
Yeah, that honestly, is the best case scenario.
Good or bad, it's better for them, I think, to just not have to worry about anything on the last day of the season.
Yeah, you hope 162 is a non-game for the Yankees and the Jays at that point. All right. Well, that's all I got on it.
Me as well.
Thanks for making Lockdown Blue Jays your first listen today. Go make the second one, PFS, Paul Francis Sullivan, his Lockdown MLB podcast. He brings humor. He's bringing jokes. He's bringing passion. He's going to be yelling. And he is thinking outside the box, people, a unique perspective he's giving you on every team and the biggest stories around the league. It's the number one daily league-wide podcast, Lockdown MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. I'm Matt Bonaparte. That's Ben Shulman. We will see you on Monday to recap this series.